we're starting now. We're going to cover some ground today. Svara on Sadhik Zayin and the Bays. We spoke about the Kedari yesterday. And now we have Amar Rav Avu, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Yisum Shevetola Misharinon, Ki'ilu Haim, Batzel V'Kaflut. Anytime you have a pot or a mixture with a soup with this and heter, so you want to figure out what the taste, if there's a taste or not. And let's say you don't have an expert goy to give it to. So he says, make believe it's the iser is batzel, it's an onion, and make believe that the heter is kaflut. Kaflut is some vegetable.
I think we looked it up in one of the dictionaries and said leeks.
Leeks tastes like, leeks is, it tastes like an onion. I don't think that would be such a good.
Well, it's not, I forget which version, but
I doubt that it's.
It's not like we said before with Basar and the Lefet, that you assume the Isser is Basar and the Heter is Lefet. It's that you assume that the Isser is leeks or onions and wood. Onions or
meat,
no tentam in this heter.
Oh, you're right. Okay, it's my mistake. You're correct. It doesn't. In other words, you take batzel or kaflut, that they taste the same, like onions or leeks, and mix that into the heter, which you and figure it out. In other words, you represent the yisur by a batzel or a kaflut. Now those are pretty pungent. Those are pretty strong flavors, onion and the kapla, a leek. So you can be rest assured that if I would substitute for the yisr into this mixture, into the soup, let's say, I would put an onion instead of the nevela. If the onion doesn't give a taste because it's in each pot, so then the nevela certainly would not give a taste. So the worst, So, in other words, he's giving you a scientific, practical method to actually be assured that there's no taste by making your own experiment with similar ratios instead of having something, instead of the yisur itself, substitute an onion and mix it into a similar kind of dish and see if it gives a taste. If the onion gives a taste, then maybe your nevela gave a taste. So you'd be machin. If the onion does not give a taste, then for sure your nevela does not give a taste. So therefore, it'll definitely be mutter if it does. So the onion would be a scientific way of without having to taste it directly, by through substitution, to be sure that your situation has no taste. Yes?
What if what you were making already has onion?
I'm making
a French onion soup which has cheese in it. And then
no, you can't use this test. This test would fail. I don't know what you would do then.
It's possible to cover the same thing.
Yeah.
So you use one or the other.
Either one, yeah. Because batzel is an onion and kaflut is a leek, and the leek is just is part of the onion family. It tastes like onions. Why not use pepper? Some other spice, these are extremely powerful, even 1,000 to 1, they're not butter. Or Malay, so he answers, Shiru Chachamim, to Ain Noisin Tambi Isurim, Yesam Abbasal Bukafa. The Chachamim knew that there is no Isser which has a greater flavor than an onion or a leek. An onion and a leek is the maximum that you could possibly get to with Isser. Pig or nevela or other non-kosher things, you're not going to basa b'chalav, you're not going to get more flavor than if you would have an onion. So we're substituting an onion and there's no flavor, so I know that in my problem situation there's also no flavor, which makes it mutter. I don't have to use hot pepper as a substitute. The onion is good enough. Good.
You mean if you had a mixture and you didn't you have mixture. You're trying to are you trying to define whether I have 60th or something?
No, this Gemara is not working with the idea of 60. This Gemara is predates the idea of 60.
Yeah.
In other words, before the Chachamim came up with the flat shear of 60, they used to do experiments. They used to do substitutions and just really go into the kitchen and get a real substitute situation which guarantees no flavor in the problem's pot. You replace the issa with an onion and that onion won't give flavor in your experiment. So for sure the issa doesn't, because the Chachamim know that there is no dava asa which is more pungent than an onion. So this is before they came up with the idea of 60-1. That's what Rashi says. This is without the 60-1. Rashi says, Akati lo ifsik hilchaso b'shishim. The Gemara has not yet come up with the idea of shishim. This is such an interesting historical Gemara that 60 was not this is a little strange, because according to this Rashi and the way Rashi explains this Gemara, 60 was something which was developed later on after this period of time. Who is the one who said this? This was in the time of Reb Yochanan and then Abaye. It's pretty late. I don't understand you, because who said before Shishim? Rava said Shishim. So I don't really understand what Rashi's saying, that they didn't have to know the law of Shishim. Rava was discussing this Batzel experiment also. So, but anyway, Rashi says that apparently the law of Shishim had not yet been formally accepted by everybody. Rava did say that there's a law of Shishim. Maybe once Rava said it, it became already the Psak. But Abaye, Rabbi Yochanan was earlier than Abaye and Rav. Rabbi Yochanan was an earlier period. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't have Shishim. He had this experiment. He would experiment with things which are heter, substituting an onion for the Dvar Issa. This, by the way, goes against, well, I imagine if you use the onion, you're certainly going to have more than Shishim, because onions are very powerful flavors.
With something like various agricultural historian, where it's not, I mean, like, you're not going to, if you use like Nivela or Behemet Tamea, so every one of them, you can't get like a kosher one with you know, Truma. So
Tevel, Truma, agriculture, so also.
I'll make it all the same dish with all Kulin and then see if that works.
Yeah, right, that's true. That would be good. But, you know, you're raising a very interesting question, because there probably could be a case of a tavlin, which is stronger than an onion, which could be also like tevel. Like, if you grow certain things, irokos, it may be tavlin, might have a dinam of tevel, then you have a problem. But an onion may not be as strong as a tavlin. Yes?
How do you really argue that Shishim is derisa?
That would be a big problem, because this would be against, of course, the idea that Shishim is a derisa. And also the idea that we spoke about already quite a bit, that Shishim is a shir hamavatel.
Unless you say like
this. This Gemara is against that. This approach is a pure scientific experimental approach, Rabbi Yochanan's approach.
If you say Batzel Kafla is Shishim, then it works nicely.
No, Batzel Kafla, but Rashi says it's not. If you say Batzel Kafla, it's another way of saying Shishim.
Which is what Tosfos
says,
it's
Kol Yisurim. Tosfos says Batzel Belefes is Shishim. Where's that Tosfos?
Kol Yisurim.
Let's read the Tosfos there. This goes again to this fundamental problem of Tarovas. Are we dealing with Metzias? Are we dealing with a Shir, Halacha, Bittel? So the same issue in this Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. So what does Taisvah say? Kol Yisurim Shebetorah Misharin Oso Kilehim Batzel V'Kaflet. So Taisvah is Midaloi Nogat Kebosa B'Lefes Kedektani B'Masnisen Gabi Gid Anoshe. doesn't use the basa belefis measurement. Mashma, the ain shu and shava. It seems that basa belefis is not the same as this thing of batzel. The gid, lo yov tamakula haidu. The gid is not so strong, the flavor. There's even Amandama says that it has no flavor. So even if we say it has a flavor, but it's very weak. The masharin, who the masharin on kabasa belefis? That's the way you use the basa belefis approach. So shari suim, the yavatam, tfei, other things have more flavor. Masharin of the basa of a kafa, to use the basa. Mita ka'omar Rav Nachman, gid b'shishim. Now, a little bit further down, the next line, in fact, of Nachman says, gid b'shishim. Mashma, the basa belefis, have shir b'shishim. See, Tosfos makes the move that both the belefes of the Mishnah and of Nachman Shishin are the same. I don't know. I have no idea. The both of belefes have a shir b'shishin. With the fees there, Polig Rabbi Yochanan are the Rav Deliel. Now it turns out that the way we're working this whole thing out, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with Rav. Rav said, "Amar kol isum shevetov b'shishin." We pass him like Rav Duh Basra. He's a later. So Taisus says, right, so this is very good. According to Taisus, we have here a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan on one side and Rav on the other side. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's purely a question of Messias. Is there a flavor on that? So I do an experiment of heter beheter. I replace the issa with batzel, and I see if there's a flavor or not in this situation. According to Rava, no, it's a separate shir shishim. You always have to have shishim. You know, Nachman is like Rava. And the Mishnah, Tosfos wants the Mishnah to be that way too, because you want to stand Mishnah to be la halacha. Since la halacha is shishim, the Mishnah says, Gidah noshim, Mishara nosu, basa belefes. Basa belefes must be just a colloquialism for shishim. It's another way of saying shishim, you say basa belefes. That's what Tosfos said. Yes. Basa belefes. The Mishnah, Sadik Zayin Bey, says, Tzadik Rabban Bey says, replace the gid with a piece of meat, kosher meat, and replace your other food in the pot with lefes. Lefes is a mild vegetable, and see if the basa gives flavor to the lefes. If it does, then you should be machmer by the gid. If it does not, you can be makel by the gid. Rashi in the Mishnah is not like that. You see the Rashi on the Mishnah? Rashi in the Mishnah of Basa Belefa says, Rowan kilo hayerech leftos v'hagid basa v'ilo hayinois in tam basa v'shir hagid beliftos hayerech hayerech is asu. The shu'urin, Rashi says, alocha l'moshe mesina v'gemiri t'bahachi misharina t'afal pi shilo hayakub hakaflut hayitzoh pachos hayesech. This is a tradition to use this shear. Even a different vegetable, not lefes, I would use a kruv or kaflut, I have a different ratio.
It was warm.
Rashi doesn't even mention at all that this is another way of saying shishim. So clearly Rashi in the Mishnah is against the Tosfos. Rashi interprets basa belefes. But what's very strange about Rashi is that he says basa belefes. He doesn't say basa belefes. Tosfos here by us says, but since the gid is mild, very mild flavor, so basa belefes is a good experimental substitute for the gid. Then he switches into shishim. Seems that Tosfos by us, by the way, seems to be having working in two ways. First, he starts off saying that instead of having batzal, like Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah has basa belefes. Why did the Mishnah use basa belefes? In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since Rabbi Yochanan is always working with a substitute of batzal, How come all of a sudden the Mishnah mentions Basar? Rabbi Yochanan cannot argue with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. So this point, Rabbi Yochanan says all other Isurim Yitaka need a Batsar because they could be more strong flavor. But since Gid is the mildest flavor of all Isurim in the Old Torah, even one person says, Ain Begidin, but nice and tough. One opinion is, doesn't have any flavor at all. So even if we say it has a flavor, but it's extremely mild. So Rabbi Yochanan says, instead of having a pungent batzel as the substitute, use basar b'lefes. So Rabbi Yochanan explains the mission also from an experimental point of view. But then Rabbi Nachman, who said gid b'shishim, how does Rabbi Nachman explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah said basar b'lefes. And he says shishim. So Rabbi Nachman is saying basar b'lefes is shishim. So it means according to Tosfos, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Nachman, how you explain the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, basar b'lefes is an experiment. It's an experiment, like batzel. According to Rav Nachman, basar b'lefes is a shear. But the shear is a shear we know. It's a shear shishim, the regular shear of kol ha'tara kula. So this is really a machlokes, because since Tosfos explains that the gid is so mild, so why in the world should you need shishim? If I have a very strong tam, I use shishim. Rabba said, Nachman says, something which is very strong, let's say a cheeseburger, and the cheese is Munster cheese. So, or some of these cheeses stink to high heaven, I don't even know their name. So they have a very strong flavor.
Blue cheese.
Huh? Blue cheese. Blue. President Joe, when he was in his office last week, he had 18 different cheeses. I didn't taste them because they smelled terrible. But, so there are a lot of different cheeses in the world. So if you have a cheeseburger, so it's very strong flavor. So we say shishim works. Shishim works. And Tosfos says according to Rav Nachman, Gid Anosha needs shishim. So obviously Rav Nachman is now working with experimental metzius. Because why should Rav Nachman say shishim by gid, and the same thing by a cheeseburger? If Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan himself, according to Tosfos, said there's a difference. If you have other isurim, you can use a batzel as the experiment. And if you don't have a gid, which is very mild, use basar b'lefes. Two different ways of figuring it out. And Rav Nachman says shishim. So Tosfos says, Rav Nachman interprets basar b'lefes as shishim. So according to Tosfos' interpretation, this is the machlokes of Yochanan and of Nachman. If Yochanan is working with Metzius, there is time or there's no time, and he's very realistic. Many things need a batzel. Nagid Anoshe, you make a good experiment with basar b'lefes. He's a Metzius approach. Rav Nachman is a shurim approach. It's a special shear of shishim to be matir isurim, period. Across the board. Nagid Anoshe could be mild, still needs shishim. Basar b'lefes is shishim. That's according to Tosfos. According to Rashi in the Mishnah, it's a different thing. Rashi in the Mishnah is something completely new. I'm very puzzled. I have to frankly admit, I'm very puzzled by the Rashi in the Mishnah on Tzadik Vav. Rashi in the Mishnah says that the basar b'lefes is not an experimental way of figuring out the flavor. It's a sheer halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Rashi says, why did they take a lefes? They could have taken a kruv. Kruv, by the way, is cabbage. It's very strong. So
I would have thought that kruv was a weak flavor.
I don't know. Kruv is weak. Okay. I don't know. My wife makes cabbage. It tastes very, very strong.
Because
Rashi
says
kaplut is
more pungent than basar.
Kaplut is a leek. It's very strong.
But kaplut is strong.
Maybe it's not.
I don't know. Maybe kruv is weaker. I don't know. But anyway, but Rashi says that this sheer basar b'lefes is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What kind of halacha l'moshe m'sinai is this? What? That every yisr in the Torah you do basar b'lefes, or gid anosh you do basar b'lefes? And we never heard of such a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We know shishim. We know shishim. Rabbi Yochanan gives us a practical experiment with onions. I also understand. But to say that there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai of basar b'lefes, I don't really understand.
Can't we be able to try to figure out why Dot and Busa Balef is? Why Dot and
Busa Balef? Taisa says very well, because Gidan Nosh is mild and Busa Balef is a good
way.
Busa Balef is a very good way of figuring it out.
Who is
even
more mild than
Busa Rashi said? I don't know. Pabas Yosef and the ratio of the head to Rashi.
Oh, those
Rashi doesn't say you should replace the bus. No, you're going to replace the lefes. Instead of using lefes, which is a certain kind of vegetable, use a butzel or... No, lefes is some kind of vegetable. Lefes is a vegetable. They even talk about what part of the vegetable, the rosh or the zonot, the rishonim. Lefes is a vegetable. So you use bus of the lefes. Rashi says, why not use kruv, a different vegetable? Why not use... Or kapu. No, not for the basa, for the lefes.
They're two completely different things.
The whole point is that if you're trying to make a basa,
if you're trying to make a basa kid,
you would need
lefes.
If you're trying to make a basa kid, you would need more.
No, the kruv and kafu that Rashi is talking about is the substitute for the not for the basa, for the lefes. Why did the Mishnah say you take lefes? The Mishnah could have taken a different vegetable.
No,
it's
everything.
The gid is replaced by basa, and the whatever dish is cooked in, you're replacing it with a lefes.
So
Rashi says, why do you need a lefes? You could use a kruv, use a kaflu.
Right,
instead of the lepers.
The Gemara also the kaplu is replacing the
Yisra,
right?
That's replacing the Yisra, right?
Right. Either basel or kaplu is replacing the Yisra. Right. So it's basel the kaplu in something else, right?
No. Because the Gemara basel the kaplu in the Gemara the basel the kaplu is replacing the Yisra. In the Rashi and the Mishnah. When Rashi says, use a kruv or kaflut, he's replacing the heter. Instead of having lefes, use another vegetable. That's how Rashi wrote it, but I didn't like the Rashi. Because he's not talking about the Gemara, he's talking about a Mishnah, he's not talking about the Gemara. He's not using any example from the Gemara, he's just saying, the Gemara never mentioned kruv. Rashi making up his own thing. He's saying, why did the Mishnah say, basa b'lefes? It could have taken basa b'kruv, it could have taken basa b'kaflut. And you use other vegetables, it'll change the ratio. So Rashi says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, do basa b'lefes. I don't understand where this halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes from. Whoever heard of a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai to use a certain kind of vegetable in shiurim of time. Meichat teisa. It's one thing to say, I have halacha l'moshe m'sinai to have a shiur shishim. There's a certain number the Torah requires for hetzer and the tarobas, I understand. The Torah is not going to allow me to eat things which are mixed in unless you get a certain absolute ratio. Shisha, then I understand. But to say, to make an experiment a certain way, this is an experiment according to Rashi. The Chorah, the Mishnah, is an experiment. If it's an experiment, so be practical. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Chachamim have a Masorah, but Selva Kafut is the best experiment. And Persa says that in Gid Anoshe, another very good experiment for Gid Anoshe is Basa Balefes, according to Yochanan, I understand. And according to Nachman, I also understand, Persa says Basa Balefes means Shishim. It's also good. But Rashi has a new thing. Rashi says that Basa Balefes is a halacha, l'moshe m'sinai, how to figure out what? Gid Anoshe or figure out all tarogas? Where is this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? I don't understand. This Rashi is very difficult. I don't understand where it's coming from. Okay? I don't know where Rashi is coming from. There's no trace of such halacha l'moshe m'sinai any place in any of the Gemaras about tarogas. There's no statement any place that there's halacha l'moshe m'sinai to replace Yisum with basa b'lefes. Mechateisa. Why is basa b'lefes such holy things that they replace all Yisum in the Torah? I don't understand. If I cook pig in Chveis and Chalent, you're going to replace it with basa b'lefes? Why? Why should basa b'lefes be the substitute? Rabbi Yochanan explained that he has a practical reason why he took Batzel to replace Yisum, because we know that the Batzel is the strongest flavor any Yisum could ever get to. So he made a very good experiment. I understand Rabbi Yochanan, there's no problem at all. But and Rabbi Nachman is also good, that Shishim is a special Shia, it's a Matzia. But to come up halacha l'moshe m'sinai to use basar from lefes, where is this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Whoever came up with such halacha l'moshe m'sinai, where is it? Where is it saying such?
Why should there be such halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Isn't the question on the Mishnah itself says basar?
Right. So Tosfos gave you two explanations, two very good explanations. Rabbi Yochanan says this is a practical experiment which is effective in Gidah Nasha, and Rabbi Nachman says this is another way of saying shishim. Perfect. Two shotim which are perfect. Rashi didn't have to come up with some new halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Where is this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Where does it say? Whoever said this such halacha l'moshe m'sinai, where is there a trace of a new halacha l'moshe m'sinai of basar b'lefes? Where is this? Where? It's mentioned, this is the only place in Kol HaTorah Kula that such a thing is mentioned. So to say it's a new halacha l'moshe m'sinai, where is this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? What's it applied to?
That's goofy. Why maybe Rashi says it's
halacha l'moshe. Why did Rashi say halacha l'moshe? Now what's wrong with two shots in Tosfos?
Because it
has
to test anywhere else.
Tosfos gave a very perfect shot because since it's very mild, so you use a very mild experiment.
More mild. That's what Rashi said.
Can't be
safe. No, it's very mild. This is very mild. Basar is mild, and lefes is. We show him say lefes is a very mild, very mild. So you're dealing with mild flavors. You know, you have to be really on top of your game to taste them. So we use a basar b'lefes. Mechad day said this halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Shver Rashi. And this halacha l'moshe m'sinai is dafka about gira noshe. So where's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai about a chazir? What's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai about nevela? I mean, gira noshe has its own special halacha l'moshe m'sinai, how to figure it out. So that every yisur in the Torah should have its own separate halacha. Why did the Torah give special attention to Gidah Noshah, special halacha Moshe Mesinai, a special halacha Moshe Mesinai? Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a special din. This is the only way to figure out the tarobus of Gidah Noshah. He didn't tell me anything about how to figure out Chazir and Nevela. This he left for people to worry about for thousands of years. Rav Yochanan his opinion, Rav Nachman and Rav and Abaya. Everybody's arguing back and forth how you take care of tarobus. But Allah l'moshe m'sinai about gira noshe, especially Allah l'moshe m'sinai to use basar b'lefes. It's a very, very shver Rashi. I mean, I don't understand. It's like sticking out like a sore thumb. Why should there be such a special Allah l'moshe m'sinai about gira noshe? Yes.
Does Rebbe not understand?
Both. I don't see, there's no mako, and I don't see what the problem is. Tosfos gives a very, when you read the Mishnah, basar b'lefes, you instantaneously think, like to the first shot of Tosfos, that it's an experiment. Why can't you just say simply, it's an experiment? What's wrong with using experiments? I don't understand. Why did Rashi have to? Why did Rashi have to? It's like taking a nuclear weapon to kill a fly. It's not difficult to explain basar b'lefes as an experimental way of figuring out, practically speaking, what the flavor is. Why not? Why do you have to come up with a halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Use something so powerful and then it's you don't know where it's coming from. Yes?
So, can I suggest a reading of Rashi that maybe create a problem for Rashi? Mm-hmm. We read the Rashi discussion once a week. First of all, that
that's not the way to read it. Rashi is replacing the lefes with the other two vegetables. So let's not go down the wrong road.
How does Rebbe know that?
Because that's how I read it, okay? I'm learning 30, 40 years, and I have my own way of reading Rashi. So this is based upon my 40-year experience of reading Rashi. I know that Rashi means to replace the lefes, not to give. So I went down the wrong road. Yes?
I'm bothered by a very basic thing here. I'm trying to say that. Buckle. Lettuce or ruffled by any other onion or whatever, shishim, a piece of gidah noshe and a stew of kosher meat, might have, let's say it's a pot of kosher soup. Somebody put the gidah noshe in, a very small piece, and I put an onion in the same bowl, the same pot, I would not taste the onion, so therefore you would say, I could not taste it.
Right. That's what the Yochanan
is. Is a gidah noshe such? The rabbis permit us to eat the gidah noshe in that state? It's a bottle of shishim,
if it's bottle, you can eat it. You can eat
it. I was on the literature such a strong thing, you could not eat it, never.
No, in Tarobas, you're allowed to eat trade food. In fact, Balamar says if you refuse to eat it, you're not the Kamas.
Right.
Balamar says if someone doesn't want to eat food which is batel, v'shishin, he's an apokoros. If the Torah, which said it's also, says it's mutter, so you have to be willing to eat it. Yes?
Rashi says, roi shiyu ha'yer ha'kos ha'kei basar. It means that the basar is supposed to be the kid.
Rowan, kishir gid, the lefter, it's a Rowan kilo hayerech, liftos, the heter is a lefes, for hagid is basar, right?
So then,
you know how you're nice.
The basar is supposed to be replacing the hisker, the gid, the hisker.
No, right, the basar replaces the
hisker. So then, can we say that this, maybe Rashi holds that basar the lefes is a shiur for calling for a kula? For calling for shari'sri?
That's very shvet, because Tosfos says that that's against what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says that Batzel, and the Gemara explains that all the Chachamim know that Kimlu Chachamim, the Ein Nice and Tam Bisum, Yosem the Batzel. So that's a very realistic substitute. But to say Batzel Belefes is an experimental substitute for Kol Torah Kula is against the Gemara. The Gemara says that that would not work. You can't be guaranteed that you're going to be safe. Use basa belefes father isuvin. Use a batzel, you're safe, but you can't use a basa belefes replacement. That's not going to guarantee lack of time.
Then Rashi goes on and says, "The Yehuda doesn't know basa kashir to give the leftos a yeret aser." Right? This the object of the sentence is basa, right? Then when he continues, his apal pishu lai approval kavu, so he's talking about the basar.
No, avi shiur lai approval refers to the lefes. Okay, let's go on. Amrav Nachman, gid v'shishim, v'ein gid min aminyan.
Right, what Rashi had to read me. I just want to say, it seems to me clear that Rashi's just being medayik in the lashon of the Mishnah, that it says Mishayrin. Since it says Mishayrin, it's a shir. And since it says basar b'kaf, since it's basar in the lefes, so that we sit. Because Rashi makes a point to say, I know this point may sound very simplistic, but Rashi says the shir in halacha l'moshisina. And since this is a shir, it's halacha l'moshisina.
Okay, I mean, you're making Rashi's case better because of the lashon of the Mishnah.
The lashon of the Mishnah says Mishayrin. So Rashi's medayik, that means a shir. A shir is halacha l'moshisina. And since this is basar b'kaf,
right. That's true.
Also, Rashi doesn't hold this as shishim necessarily. That's Taisus. Right. Says basar b'lefes might be shishim. So if Rashi says we need, so the second point is that since it's not necessary, it's probably not shishim according to Rashi. So and then the Mishnah gives us a shir and it says it's a shir. So that's why we said since basar b'lefes must be. How did the Mishnah know that?
Right, I explained it actually well, but it didn't solve my problems.
Right.
My problem is, where is there any trace of such halacha l'moshe m'sinai? And why should there be a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai for gid anasha? Is it having to check halacha l'moshe m'sinai for everything else?
It might be also simplistic, but Rashi has luach. I don't want to say. Rashi has luach.
You're supporting Rashi from the text of the Mishnah, but I'm saying after that, it just doesn't make any sense. This just doesn't make any sense to approach it this way because you're coming up with something which there's no source for it, and there's also you don't understand why is there a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai about this particular thing. There should be a halacha l'moshe m'sinai about everything else too. It actually does not make any sense. I don't care if the language of the Mishnah supports. I know you said well. I mean, as you said, on a simplistic level, you're explaining where Rashi is coming from, but it still doesn't explain where he really is coming from. It doesn't explain it. And I don't know, no one else, I didn't see in the Rishonim anybody who picks up this Rashi and works with it. I don't know where this Rashi is coming from, I really don't know. Yes?
Would it help, again, and it won't, but to read, he says that Shura and Alephan, which we see now, not necessarily that literal usage of Basar B'lefes or anything else, but that whole concept of using experimental system to understand if time can affect your life.
No, when you say Shum is Halacha L'moshe M'sinai, you're basically veering away from the idea of experiments. You're saying it's Halacha L'moshe M'sinai.
The Halacha L'moshe M'sinai is using Basar B'lefes. That's Halacha L'moshe M'sinai.
opposed to saying the whole idea of using Sherman in the first place as an experimental system is a love motion Sinai. You might think you cannot use an experiment at all. You have to
actually Shum alocha motion Miss Sinai. Gemirin, we have a tradition, the Bahachi with the Basa Balefas approach, Misharina. This is the shir we use. So I don't understand. There's a Lachal Moshe Messinai to use Basa Balefas for Gid Anasha, and there's a special Lachal Moshe Messinai. Where is this Lachal Moshe Messinai? Where does Gemara explain such a Lachal Moshe Messinai? Why is there a special Lachal Moshe Messinai about Gid Anasha?
Repeats the Lashon of Rashi, and he adds at the end, he quotes Rashi almost verbatim. He says,
Bashir Zeb, Shishim, good. The Rabban is like Taisvis, that it means Shishim.
Okay.
There's something missing in the Rashi. If Rashi would put the word Shishim in, it would be great. That's what Taisvis did. To leave it the way it is, I tell you the truth, it's incoherent. It's just simply incoherent. It does not make any sense. There's a special Lachal Moshe Messinai about Gidam Noshe, how you develop Gidam Noshe in a path. Doesn't make any sense that there should be such a Lachal Moshe Messinai. There's something missing, okay? The Ran put in Shishim and the Rashi, fine, that makes sense. That's certainly much better. Yes?
There are those who want to argue that Rashi thinks that Basra Lev is a Shishim. Because they think that, they say that the Alina Rashi says, the Rashi is the Maskam Dosin Tam.
Says,
so now there's a
Hebrew Masa Ku and
Asura.
Okay? Where is that Mashim?
Mashim.
Oh, on the mission, okay.
So
Mashim Akiro, the Nois and Tan. The mission also says Nois and Tan.
Right, so
where is the Nois and Tan? Fraj Nois and Tan, Min Bemino. It's a Min Bemino. Afkina Shua Bashishim. From Lav Kulamasu.
So Rashi says
rotate the no sentan. The Mishnah switches into no sentan. The Mishnah doesn't say the word Shishim. It says no sentan.
Right, but the Rashi goes
into
the word
Shishim. Where's Rashi says Shishim?
Look at the
Nice and Tam and Yesh but nice and tam Bukhova.
Yeah, and then it goes on
Kuhn
the
Surah. Sure,
some
people want to
say that's part of the previous Dibra Masa.
But it doesn't say the word Shishim. It says Nais Tintam. That's Min Bamino. Fine.
So if you have a share of Min Bamino,
okay. You're saying that there's some kind of an indication later on in the Rashi that perhaps the Mishnah means Shishim.
Yeah.
From the Rashi, the way he may have mentioned Shishim, Min Bemino, it seems that that's what he interprets nice in town.
It's in Malo Arayim.
Who says that?
Malo Arayim.
Oh, yeah? That's good. So then, that's fine. Then the first Rashi also means Shishim. If you get into Shishim, then it's fine.
Then he's saying Shishim is Halacha
Moshe. Right. Then Shishim is Halacha Moshe Messina. That's okay. That's good. In fact, I like the Shishim is Halacha Moshe Messina because it's a Shia B'Mavata. Yes?
Why can't we say more than a Hronja Torah and Nechilik by Gid? And it was like, when you shock an animal, the whole animal is the Torah. Don and Chilik are like these substances. Parts of the animal that aren't really food, they take them out. The only part of the animal, which is the whole animal, the hose you can make stew, the whole animal is kosher except for this ganache, it's a traver. Right? So why do you say that it's a unique thing? But there really is the distinction that it's a very unique kind of issa. It's an issa which otherwise, isn't it like a chaza or like a certain part of the.
Yeah, but it wouldn't make any sense to have a special halacha l'moshe Messinai about the tarobus of a gid anasha. With a bus of Balefes, which is a unique shear, and have no other Lachal Moshe Messinai about anything else. It doesn't make any sense. Moshe Rabbeinu would tell me something about one particular kind of Tarobas and not tell me about anything else. It doesn't make any sense.
It's unique Isser. It's like all Gidimara is one kind of.
There's
one
no reason. There's no reason to have a special Lachal Moshe Messinai about Gid Anashe and Tarobas. Either it has time or doesn't have time. There's no reason to have a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It does not make sense. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai is a very, very powerful thing. You know, the Rambam says when there's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there can never be a machlokas against it. When you say something is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, your mamish putting it up like the 13 basic beliefs of Judaism. You can't argue about it. So take something like this, which in Hilchos Tarovos is fundamentally one point out of a million, and create a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It just doesn't make any sense. When you go through halacha l'moshe m'sinai, these things are fundamental things which are embedded in stone, and they're very, very important. You don't have halacha l'moshe m'sinai about some very minor detail of some vast, like for example, halacha l'moshe m'sinai that a sukkah is only three walls. Because how do you know how many walls a sukkah has to be? So it tells you three walls, and the last wall is only a tefach. Now that's a very significant statement, that I can build a sukkah with two walls and a tefach. There's halacha l'moshe m'sinai that sroros is chatzi nezek, that any kind of nezek done by koach instead of the goof of the animal is a chatzi. That's a significant statement. But this doesn't make any sense to have halacha l'moshe m'sinai about one issur out of 50 different isurim, and say one of these things, the Gid Anoshe has a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai. In a taroves, use basar b'lefes. It just does not make any sense. It cannot be such a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It does not make any sense.
But I mean, there are also.
That's it. It doesn't make any sense. If you say shishim, like he says, the Malo Haroim pushes the shishim into the Rashi, and the Ran pushes the shishim into the Rashi. Good. That's fine for shishim. Is a significant statement that applies across the board. I can see that as a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, something very, very basic and fundamental in the laws of Issa v'Heter, that is a taroves. It's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai to use shishim, that I understand. But there cannot be a halacha l'moshe m'sinai about something so so minor, so to speak, so detailed. One of these surim have a different way of being matter, basa, b'lepas. How can there be a machlokas then about this? How could Rav Nachman say shishim? Rambam says you can never have a machlokas about halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai is like the 13 fundamental principles of Judaism. People don't argue with halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It doesn't make any sense. There's something wrong. The Rambam put in shishim, the Maharon put in shishim, good. Okay, let's go right there because we can't sit on this the whole day. Amar Rav Nachman, gid b'shishim, v'ein gid min aminyan. So gid is batal b'shishim. But of course the gid is asa, you can't use the gid in the minyan. Kachal b'shishim, u'kachal min aminyan. Okay, I'm not going to go into kachal at all, I'm just reading it. Kachal is the udder of a cow, and it's a very funny kind of organ. It's of course where all the milk is stored after it's produced. And there's a special din that once the cow is dead and there's milk left over inside its body, in the which you call kachal, so that milk is mutter as far as basa b'chalav. That's what has a drasha, but that's not considered to be milk. It's white liquid, but it doesn't have a din of chalav. And with the raisa, you could cook it and make, you can open up a business at kosher McDonald's, make cheeseburgers with the milk from a kachal, with the raisa. But Rabbanon said no, the Rabbanon made a nisa of kachal, and then the Rabbanon built in a lot of kulos, leniencies in kachal. They didn't say, okay, it's milk, but the Rabbanon, and now follow all the regular rules of basa b'cholav. No, they said, there's a new issa called kachal. It has certain ways. It's also midrabbanon, but at the same time it has various leniencies. So this is one of the leniencies that kachal min aminyan. That
you
cannot eat the kachal. It's basa b'chol of midrabbanon. But if the kachal, in the terms of a taroves, you can use the kachal min aminyan. In other words, you don't need 60, you need only 59 against it. If I cook the kachal, in other words, I cook this meat which has the milk of the udder in it, I cooked a piece of udder with its milk, I created basa b'chol midrabbanan, and then I threw that into a pot, I don't need 60, I only need 59. Why they made the kula? I don't know. There's a lot of the Tosfos. Kachal, I'm not going to go into it at all. Kachal is the most complicated and difficult part of Basar B'Cholov. It's just one of these things in Basar B'Cholov which is very, very, very hard because it has a lot of, it's a Nisa D'Rabbanan, and it's one of these things where the D'Rabbanan throw in all kinds of variations, not like the Torah. Now, normal Takanas D'Rabbanan is called the Tikkun D'Rabbanan, Kein D'Raisa Tikkun. So usually, those kinds of D'Rabbanans are straightforward. I take my Torah parameters and I apply them to the D'Rabbanan. So for example, let's say, Karmelis. With the Raisa, I'm not allowed to carry a Shusha Rabbi. With the Rabbanan, I'm not allowed to carry a Karmelis. But all the laws of carrying and a Karmelis are exactly the same laws as carrying a Shusha Rabbi. If I'm wearing clothing, it's mutter. If it's a tachshit, it's mutter. If it's a masa, if it's a burden, it's asa. There's no special differences, Karmelis, Shusha Rabbi. So I apply all the regular rules to it. One, every so often, more. Too often, from where we're coming from, the Rabbanan they create a Nisr and they're not Nisakin Kain the Raisa. They come up with all kinds of variations which are not based on the Torah. A lot of leniencies and all kinds of odd situations which they deal a certain way. When you get into those, the Rabbanans, and you're coming from my school, the Rav school, you go crazy. Because the Rav is always trying to define everything lamdish and categorically clear definitions. When you start getting a leniency in this and a leniency in that and a twisted situation, so therefore they make a different kind of a takana. It's very, very difficult to put into our categorization systems. So it doesn't come, you know, usually you say it's either a din like this or a din like this. You know, it's either gavra or chetzer. It's either a mitzias or it's a halacha. We have these normal things that you deal with the rices and you can, you know, just like go through shas with these the mechanisms. When you get to the rabbanans, if came the rice that took in, good. But if shalom came the rice that took in, then you go crazy. So muktzah, for example, in Shabbos, is very hard for the Rav. Very hard because there's so many different leniencies and twists and turns. It's not straight the raisa. It's not like a straight the raisa kind of a subject. So in muktzah, it's a very difficult topic if you're learning, you know, the Briska approach. Very hard. Hotzah the rabbanan kamelis is a piece of cake. It's not a problem. You can deal with it without a problem. Muktzah is very shrek. Now in basa b'chalav. Basa of b'cholav, if I have to deal with basa of b'cholav, which I spoke about once a little bit over here, that's a kind of a drabana which you can really work with straightforward. It's very close to the derisa kind of stuff. You get the kachal. Kachal is the place where everything goes like, the whole thing goes berserk. It namish goes berserk. The system just, basically it collapses. So it's very hard to deal with it. So I'm going to deal with kachal at the end. Because if I go into it now, I'm going to get really confused and get you all confused. When we finish all Tarovas and all of Basar B'Cholov, when we have all our categories clear and everything is really working nicely, then we put in Kachal and see what happens to Kachal. But Kachal by itself, at this point, is going to drive us up the wall. So one of the things which is very, very strange in Kachal is that it's Asur, but you can count it on the side of the head of Hashishim. Which is really like that's an amazing paradox. Something is asur, but in a taroves, I consider it heter. How that works at this point is beyond me. But it's so therefore kachal atzmo asur, but meanwhile kachal min aminyan. The kachal counts in the 60 of heter, even though it's asur. How something can be asur at the same time? But it's a din d'rabbanan. Beitza b'shishim. Vein base minamin, you have a treif egg, you need 60 to be matrit, and you cannot use the treif egg, of course, for the minion of Shishin. Or maybe a sort of pervader of Mashasha, Kachal Asma Asa, the Kachal is Asa. Enofu Kateva Acheres, Osa. Put it into another pot, you have to Nisa, you have to be matrit. Okay. Amma Vashi, Kavinan Beirach Kahana Iboyon. Kimisharinon, B'didei misharinon abamai denafik minei misharinon. It's all about kachal. And kachal, the milk of the kachal, when you put it into a pot and you're trying to figure out the shishim, or you cook it, you're trying to figure out the shishim, do you make like a general estimate, or do you try to actually make some kind of exact estimate? So he said, Shita, but the day machine, you do a general thing. You just look at it and say it's this size, and that's what it is. Even my denafik minei, you're going to try to figure out exactly what came out. Minoya dino, how would you know? Elamata nafik day racheres lo yosa. So then why does it make things us on the other path if it's not really us? Okay, and the answer is, Kevin Dama, Esabed, Mishasha, Khal Asma, Asa, Shava, Bun, Kachtich, the Nevela. It does have a din of Issa, Midrash Bun. Okay. We're leaving it confused because, as I said, I can't go into this at this point. Go right. Beis of Bishishim, Ve'ein Beis of Minaminyan. Omalei, Ravidi, Ve'obama, Abayim. So eggs can be treif, and the treif eggs can make a problem in a tarofus, obviously. So you say if you cook a treif egg in a pot, let's say you put a treif egg into a chalent. So I say there's a problem. You have to have shishim in the chalent against the flavor of the egg. Kimaya de Beya Balma. People say eggs taste like water. They don't have any flavor. Amalei Hachamayaskinon. Okay, we shouldn't say. I mean, how can the Gemara say that eggs don't have any flavors? I mean, people eat scrambled eggs and chopped eggs. Well, these things have a flavor. So what's the Gemara talking about? So the vast majority of the Rishonim say the Gemara is talking about eggs which are inside the shell. They're still in the shell. So an egg which is still inside the shell, somehow the shell, you cook it in a pot, for some reason the shell doesn't allow the flavor to get out very much. So it doesn't really taste like anything. It tastes like water. Or egg water, but that doesn't have a flavor. I don't really understand.
So, gall,
a shelled egg, which is being cooked,
yes.
A treif egg, which is still inside the shell, it's never cracked, and you cook it in a kosher pot, you don't have to worry because it's maya beitza ba'alma. It's maya of beitza.
Taking water, let's say eggs in
the
pot.
This is the. Let's see what the Gemara says. A little bit more, a few more lines. Amalei Hachamas Inon, the basis of Froach. He says, I'm talking about an egg which has a chicken side. If the egg has a chicken side, then the flavor does come out when you cook it with the shell. Avul Tamei Alo. If I took a treif egg from a treif bird, let's say I got an eagle's egg. I just got I have a local eagle has a nest near my house, and I went in, I took an egg. And I put it into a pot and cooked it with other kosher food, I don't have to worry because a beitza tzemeya does not give off any flavor. Rishonim say it's only when it's in the shell. I have never cooked treif eggs, and I don't know. But have you ever cooked? We don't cook eggs in our shalom. The Sfardim, do anybody here cooks eggs in shalom? Yeah, so what happens? I know the egg itself inside, the egg gets time of the meat because it goes in. The question is, does the egg give flavor out into the chalent?
Well, wouldn't you figure, you hard boil some egg? Either taste the chalent afterwards or hard boil eggs and wait till the water.
I'm asking people who have it every week, so they're telling me that there is no flavor of the egg in the chalent. That's what the Gemara says, that an egg inside a shell does not give flavor out of it. The egg inside does absorb the meat. When you eat that Svadish chalent and they serve the hard-boiled egg, the egg has a meat flavor in it. Definitely it has. First of all, it's brown, it's not white anymore, it definitely has a meat flavor inside. but does the egg give its flavor out into the cholent? That the Gemara says here, no, that the egg will not give its flavor out into the cholent. It's just baked so Maya Mayan Baum, just plain.
You're saying that he's saying an egg inside the shell, it's cooked the cholent, does not give any flavor to the cholent.
Exactly. Right?
But if the egg and the shell remove first.
If you have a hard-boiled egg and you take off the shell and drop that into the cholent, presumably that would give flavor into the cholent. That's what the that's what Tosfos says here on top. You see the top Tosfos? The Beitzas Efloach. Tosfos says, "Who adin b'shar? Who adin b'nimtza? B'nimtza b'adam." Let's say your egg has a blood spot. So he says that the Gemara's chumra of afroach, that when there's an afroach, the afroach flavor goes out of the shell into the cholent, he says applies also if there's a blood spot. If it's an egg which has some dam, has a little blood, the shada tichla b'chula, because that blood somehow affects the whole egg, and that flavor does go out. V'nira, and I think Tosfos says the tzmeya. If you have a treif egg, like an eagle's egg, shehi klupa, if you took off the shell, plain hard-boiled egg, efshad dasura, it would prohibit the cholent. If you shall me, gabi gule beitzin, and in Yerushalmi's discussion of treif eggs, mashma, I didn't look it up, but he says it's in Yerushalmi at the end of Paragut of Chumas, mashma deyesh chilek ben klupas. The shame and klupos, that there's some kind of a difference between eggs outside the shell. In the shell, the shemel inyan zeh nami yesh chiluk. It may be this question of the flavor, the path, also I would make this chiluk. Why didn't this idea of with a shell, without a shell, mention in our Gemara? Why didn't the Gemara mention this? Shum the stam beitzim avashkum osam bikli pasam, because the average case of an egg being cooked in a pot is with its shell. So the Gemara is dealing with eggs which are inside the shell. But Tosfos says it makes sense to him that if the egg would not have a shell, just like anything else, it gives all flavor to the rest of the food and it makes the rest of the food treif if it's a treif egg. But the thing is, Tosfos says shema. He's not so sure about it. So that's very difficult because I think everyday experience is if you have an egg outside the shell, a plain hard-boiled egg, and you throw it into some kind of a dish and cook it, the egg flavor will spread around. That's what I would think.
But eggs have a very mild flavor, so it doesn't seem like it would spread very well.
I don't know. But Tosfos was leaning that it should make a difference with the shell or without a shell. And that makes sense from where I'm coming from. I'm not a chef, but you can ask the chef.
Every time my wife cooks it, let's say, whole egg into the boil the water and makes a hard-boiled egg, I don't believe she looks for a blood spot at all. I mean, she'll be, before she takes the egg and put it in the water, she'll look for a candle to see the blood spot in it.
Why not?
The only time I ever watch for a blood spot, she cracks up the egg, puts it into a glass, and she looks for a blood spot.
Most eggs don't have blood spots, so we don't have to worry about it. But anyway, the blood spots for our eggs are not us anyway. The blood spots are only us if the egg was fertilized. This is just a minute. If you have an egg with a little blood in it, our eggs are not fertilized eggs, so this is just a chumra balm to get rid of the blood. It's not considered
an egg. Let's say you eat a pigeon egg. It was fertilized.
Fertilized, then you have a problem. Derisa. A fertilized egg with blood is also derisa.
Also,
that's
already
considered
also,
real.
Is a pigeon...
Dubis, for example, dubis shloch tain. Right? If you send away the mother bird, you take the egg, then I cannot put the whole egg into a pot of water because it might have a blood spot. Now, is that blood spot going to show up?
I didn't say, I'm not going into the laws of worrying about blood at this point. But there's it's nearer day. We can look it up. But Tosfos says if there happens to be real trauma blood, it's like a base of an afroach. It's like a real, thing inside the egg. That type of creates time. It was a chiddush that eggs and shells don't have time. Esve, in one sense, Esve, beitzim tahoros, shesholtim and beitzim tomatoes, and yeshman benoisim tam, kulin asuros. So we see the eggs do have time. Achanagri basis of filach. This is an egg which has their filach, which is meat inside that gives them. Man kol tzmeya gave them this filach kol tzmeya. For midrashani sefer basis shalom benipsa filach b'achas man yesh ben medicine time kol nasuas. That's the end of the brayso. Mechal the reish of the lespa for achaskina. The answer is pirusha kamefarish. Based in Torah Shalom and based in Tomeus, and yes, remember nice in time, Kulam Asuas, Ketzad, Kulam Shuk Shalom, Nisa Ferach Bachas in there. It's really one case that there has to have enough Ferach. Achlan Mustab, Yisal Kataitach Resha, the Lesbar Ferach, the Resha doesn't have the Ferach, Hash the Lesbar Ferach Asura, this Bar Ferach Mufoya, then the safe would be redundant. If without enough Ferach, it's also, certainly also when there isn't a Ferach. It says, Yimishim Ha, Lo Ir. Low area, maybe that's not true. Tana sefer lagvuya reisha. Low tama reisha disbar froach. Abu lesbar froach sharia. Tana sefer disbar froach. Machal the reisha the lesbar froach. Rafalahachi asu. So anyway, the brayso can run back and forth. There's no proof one way or the other from this brayso what tamei means. And that's it. End of sugya.
This is Rosh Hashanah. But are we rejecting the smara behind why the answer is correct, or are you rejecting the answer completely?
We're saying that there's no... You can't necessarily... You have to think... You're saying if the Sefer said... If the Sefer says that Froach is also... So what's the Chiddush of the Reisha? The Reisha must be that it's also without an Froach. Because if the Reisha has an Froach and the Sefer has an Froach, so what's going on? So it must be no. So Mar says no. Maybe even the Reisha has the Efroach, but it says the Sefer Efroach, dafka to emphasize that you have to have an Efroach. And without an Efroach, it will be mutter. So in other words, the Braisa may or may not be talking all the way through with an Efroach, or maybe it's two parts. The first part is without an Efroach, and the second part is with an Efroach. Mar says if the first part is without an Efroach, why do you need the second part with an Efroach? So it says, if you wouldn't have the second part, you would misinterpret the first part. You would say the first part is within the throne.
That's a mistake.
That's a mistake, right. So back and forth, the Gemara's not sure how to read this
brayso. So at this point, in terms of understanding the approach of eggs having tam or not?
Seems at the end of the Gemara that an egg with a shell seems not to have tam. An egg, tamea, with a shell.
But including that we need shishim, that we need...
Shishim is only basis of throw-off. It seems that the Gemara... Because of Rav Idi, Avin's Kasha to Abaye, and we pass them like this. We pass the eggs do not have eggs in that. Hey, Rav, Sif, hey. Shochan, Rav. Hey, Rav.
So
we put
an egg with chicken
inside.
Can you eat
an egg with chicken inside? Basis of Tomei. Beitzas of Tomei shenis bashla im acheros im he bikli pasa eina oses treif egg from an of Tomei with a shell you cook it in a, on the pot with other kosher food does not create any issue. Vim he klupa if the shell is taken off asura then it does as. Vim he nekuva there's a hole in the shell dina ke klupa it's like it's peeled completely. Kava pasas like tesis. Then if it's a shell, an egg with a shell, doesn't ask. An egg without a shell asks.
Which means that you massage the Yisr after you realize what happened?
Yeah. You took out the egg. You're just worrying about flavors. Okay, Botan, I guess we'll stop here.
Maybe to be lumped this into the Rashi mission. You want to say? Why was it? Rashi holds, obviously, that possible left is a shishia. This is proven from the Gemara, and that's the way everyone says that's what Rashi means. Or that's what Rashi was in Messiah. Why wasn't Rashi Messiah? That's the Kasha. Why didn't Rashi say that Basil Galef is a Shish? He just said Basil Galef. So it was incomplete, even though he meant it's Shish. Why didn't he say it? You just, maybe you could say that here's the Shulia starting with Lotus Tarot. This is the beginning of Tarot. Rashi, you know, is a sheer bittul. A Shish.
Right.
And sheer, you see, like Vasilevus is an estimation
of
Shishin. These other things would be more than Shishin, Vasilevus would be like this, but Vasilevus is like Shishin. We're not getting absolute precision here. So when the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush, Basar Balefis, it's telling us how a human being should could approach Shishim. If it's telling you what Shishim is, it's like Basar Balefis. Halacha b'Shishim is Shishim. How does a human being, how does a Jew now go and
at least have to take care of that? Sure, yeah.
He takes a bus to
the guys.
And this is an estimation of Halakha Moshe tells us an exact sheet. We know scientifically to get 60 is going to be the maximum possible. So we have an estimation which is bus to the left. So the finish of the mission is this is how you do it. Rashi knows this is Shishim, it's
okay.
The Gemara, but he tells us Basar Balefis because Shishim anyway is a sheer bittul. The mission is telling you, the mission is telling you scientifically what you can do to get close, but ultimately it's only an estimation. And the Shishim, even without taste, you need the Shishim, it's a sheer bittul. So that's what Rashi means.
Okay, good. Okay.
Right. Let me explain this. This fish is about Tanki Ikra.
Saying that the Rabbeinu Alinus, he has a very strange opinion because he says that time of Chazir and time of Mevela and time of Basar B'chol of all the different Isurim are not also for their basic Shemos of Issa, but they're also from a different Asay.
From Gil Yaakov.
Yeah, Tavir Reish. So it's a Chiddush. It's an unbelievable Chiddush. It means
it's not like a new Isur. It's out of the part, out of the,